Hallelujah. Thank you very much. Good to be with you again. Praise God. Join hands with somebody as we pray and prepare to receive the Word. Father, we thank You for Your Word this morning. Your Word has made the difference in our lives. We thank You, Father, that Your Word is alive, it's quick, it's powerful. We thank You that it's the Word that reveals to us who we are in Christ, what we are in Christ, what belongs to us in Christ. And today we desire to know more. We desire to increase in the knowledge of God. And I thank You for giving me unction in the Holy Ghost to speak boldly as I ought to speak. Thank You, Father, for confirming Your Word with signs following. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a shout if you receive that. Praise God. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Mac, for inviting me to come again. It's always a joy to be with you, and I love coming to this church, one of my favorite places in the entire world. Praise God. I say that very seriously. I'm not just saying that because I'm here. I brag on you people a lot. Praise God. You know, the Apostle Paul said about the church at Thessalonica, he said, your faith has been broadcast not only from your own community, but to regions beyond. That's a great testimony when the faith of a congregation is known around the world. And the people, many people around the world know about your faith, praise God, and what you've accomplished through your faith as a corporate body of people. And I'm very proud to be a part of this ministry here. Psalm 5, if you will, open your Bibles to Psalm 5. And while you're turning there, a few months ago, Carol and I celebrated our 36th wedding anniversary. Thank you. And while we were celebrating that time, we went to Hawaii and spent a few days and just enjoyed one another. And once again, realized how much and why I love Hawaii like I do. As I said in the earlier service, when we all come back to rule and reign, I plan to be governor of Hawaii. Praise God. I don't want to be governor of Minnesota. I love you people, but I want to be governor of Hawaii. Hallelujah. Amen. Maybe the weather will change when we come back and rule and reign. But until it does, you can have Minnesota. Praise God. Hey, Nick, you just came from Texas. Nick was down with our Bible school and spent a couple of days in our Bible school. And then we all went out on an outreach Friday night before I came here. And in a matter of 2 hours, Nick, we won 227 people to the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. And what a great blessing you guys have in this church. Such a powerful anointing on his life. I haven't got to talk to him yet about yesterday's outreach, but I'm quite sure it was very successful as well. And thank you, Mac, for loaning us Nick for a couple of days. Hallelujah. Carol and I were celebrating our anniversary, and every morning when we got up, we would go out on the balcony of our hotel. There's a particular hotel there in Honolulu that we stay at every time we go. And the people there know us and they treat us like family. And so we request if we can possibly get it the same room every time. And it's got a beautiful view of the ocean. And I don't shut up. I'll just leave and go there again right now. Praise God. It'd be a good time to go to Hawaii, wouldn't it? And so we would get up and go out, set out on our balcony every morning and take our Bibles with us and spend the first hour or so of our day in the Word before we did anything else. And we had decided that we wanted to read the Psalms and Proverbs again, both from the King James, and we took also the Message translation and would read out of it as well. And the way it went every morning is when we started reading, We would start with the King James, and then we'd flip over to the Message to see what a particular verse said in that translation. And every once in a while, I'd read something, and it would excite me, and I liked the way it was worded. And so I'd stop Caroline and say, stop reading. You got to hear this. You got to hear this. And she'd do the same thing to me. And we were reading Psalm 5, and particularly down in verses 11 and 12. And it says, but let all of those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Now, I just got through reading that from the King James, and I've preached out of those two verses for years and years, particularly on the subject of the favor of God. Favor of God is just one of my favorite subjects in the Bible to study. And I've written books about it, preached many sermons about it, have walked in it. I don't know why I'm God's favorite child. I just am. I think He likes short people or something. I don't know. Jesse ought to be His favorite child, but He don't like them that short. Okay, so anyway, I had to pick on Jesse a little bit because I know he's already been here and picked on me. Wherever he is today, I guarantee you, he's picking on me somehow. But anyway, I love talking about the favor of God. I've walked in the favor of God. If there's any one thing I know is the favor of God is on my life. I am highly favored by God. It would take me weeks to tell you all the stories of the favor of God that I've experienced in my life, and particularly over the last 33 years in this ministry. And so, you know, anytime I find a scripture on the favor of God, I get excited and I start, you know, meditating on that and praying over it and so forth. And so I leaned over to Caroline and said, Caroline, get your Message translation and tell me what this says in the Message. And it reads this way, verse 12, Thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous with favor. Thou wilt compass him as with a shield. First of all, she read to me the Amplified. It says, He will surround you with favor like a shield. He will surround you with favor like a shield. In other words, everywhere we go, we are surrounded with the favor of God. But then we got over to another chapter in Psalms, and I want you to turn there with me. Psalm 67, and it says in verse 7, God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. But the Message translation reads this way. You mark us with blessing, O God. You mark us with blessing. Earth's four corners honor Him. And when she read that to me, you mark us with blessing, O God, it just exploded in my spirit. And I said to her, I said, Carolyn, I've never used that phrase before, but it says what I've been trying to preach for over 30 years, that I am a marked man. I'm a marked man. I have known it, but I've never used that phrase before, that I was marked by God. And you say, well, you know, I might understand that since you're called to the ministry. I can understand, you know, feeling as though you're a marked man. But notice it says, you bless us, O Lord. Didn't say you bless preachers only. You bless us. And I see the hands of the us in this place, praise God. Remember over there in Psalm 5? You bless the righteous. Can I see the hands of the righteous, praise God. So I'm not an isolated case. Your pastor is not an isolated case. Many times people think, well, the reason Mac and Lynn are so blessed is because they're in the ministry. Well, that's not necessarily true. If it were, then we wouldn't have any preachers on television begging for money. And we got tons of them. And I'm just like you. I turn them off too. I don't like to hear that stuff. They go to begging and pleading and coming up with gimmicks and all of that. I thank God for remotes. Amen. I just flip them off. I'd rather watch the Minnesota Vikings. Oh, Mac, I got a joke for you. You probably already heard it, but when you were telling yours, it reminded me. There was a little boy who was mistreated by his parents. And really, they took the parents to court for child abuse, for beating this child all the time. And so when they interviewed the little boy, they said, well, who is it that's beating you? He said, my mama. My mama beats me all the time. I said, well, what about your father? Well, he beats me too. And so after this little boy's testimony of the father and mother both beating him all the time, the judge went to his chambers and came back and had said, here's my ruling. We need for this child to be raised in an environment where he is never beaten. So we're going to give him to the Minnesota Vikings. They don't beat anybody. Actually, that was a joke about the Dallas Cowboys, but I turned it around to... They don't beat anybody. Amen. Anyway, let me take Mac's anointing off and put it back over there on him and put mine back on. I got about the same response I noticed you gave him. We are marked for blessing, praise God. Marked. Let me give you a definition of the word marked. It means a sign of distinction. The word distinction means different or separate by a visible sign. Something by which someone is known. When the Bible says we are marked for blessing, then God intends for it to become a strong characteristic in our life. A distinguishing mark in our life. In other words, like Jesus said, we shall be known by our love one for one another. In other words, that should be a distinguishing mark among Christians. The world ought to be able to point us out in the crowd because of our love for one another. They also should be able to point us out in a crowd because of how blessed we are.
That's right.
Amen. We're so blessed that people begin to associate us with a extremely blessed lifestyle.
Yes.
When you're marked for blessing, then that means there should be some signs, some evidence of it. So it should be a mark of distinction in our lives. Now, I've discovered as I've been preaching this, that people seem to be able to relate to being marked on the negative quicker than they can the positive. For instance, you know, I have spent nearly 25 years of my 33 years in the ministry preaching in the continent of Africa over the years. And people in Africa believe that people can be marked for bad things, can be marked with a curse. I've been in some of the rural areas of some of the African nations like Kenya and Tanzania and Uganda and go into some of the bush area. And every once in a while, somebody would tell me, we don't go in that area or we don't go to that hut. I'd say, why not? Well, the witch doctor pronounced a curse on that family. That family's marked with a curse. There was one man that I knew in Kenya in the bush area, and it seemed like tragedy followed this man everywhere he went. And the people would say the reason was is because he's marked with a curse. This man got up one morning and his little boy was hanging from a tree out in his front yard. The little boy hung himself. A couple of years later, the little girl, his little daughter, did the same thing. Woke up, went outside, and there was a little girl hanging from her neck. She hung herself from a tree. And they said, you don't go near those people. They're marked. In other words, they believe that if you come in contact with somebody that's marked for a curse, that curse will come on you. You know, people in areas where they're more sensitive to demonic activity, that spirit world, they believe in curses. And yet right here in America, most people believe that there is a family in this nation that seems to be marked with a curse. That bad things and tragedy seems to follow this family everywhere they go. And I think most of you know who I'm talking about. I can see some of you shaking your heads already. And I'm not saying this is true, but most people seem to think it is. And I'm talking about the Kennedy clan. Every time something happens in the way of tragedy where the Kennedys are concerned, the documentaries are on television again, the books come out, the newspaper reports, the magazine articles about how this family is cursed. Some of the people who publish this material or make these documentaries, they say that the curse that's on this family has something to do with the way Joseph Kennedy, back years ago, lived and corruption and so forth. And they say he brought this curse on this family. And there's been tragedy after tragedy. Joe Jr. was killed in World War II. They were grooming him for president, but he died during World War II. And, of course, they groomed JFK, and he won, but then in November of 1963, he was assassinated, and the stories began. In fact, I remember when that assassination took place, shortly after that, I read an article, and they were trying to compare all of these similarities between JFK and Abraham Lincoln. And I believe they said that, you know, they had all this list of comparisons, of things that paralleled in their lives. I believe Lincoln's personal secretary's last name was Kennedy, and Kennedy's personal secretary's last name was Lincoln. And they say, you know, that's not a coincidence. There's so many similarities. And both were assassinated in office. Well, you know how those stories go. And so you can kind of overlook that as people trying to make something out of nothing. But then Robert Kennedy is assassinated. And the rumors start again about the curse that's on this family, how they're marked for tragedy. Well, you know, after you see two assassinations in one family, you begin to think maybe what they're saying is so. And then, of course, Ted Kennedy had his problems. And then, you know, the nephews from the Kennedy clan being tried for rape. You remember that famous trial where this nephew down in Florida, I believe, he was a doctor, a physician, I think, and tried for rape. And then John Jr., you know, when John was killed in that airplane crash. I don't know how you felt, but I almost felt like it was a member of my family because I've watched that kid grow up over the years. I'll never forget the scene of JFK's funeral, and the casket is going by, and little John standing there saluting the casket, you know. And then when he and his wife and sister-in-law were killed in the airplane crash not too awfully long ago, the rumor started again. This family's marked. They're marked for curses. There's tragedy that follows this family. And then here just a short time ago, the other Kennedy member that was tried and convicted of murder of this teenage girl back when he was a teenager. And once again, in fact, just before I came here, there was a program on television on the Biography Channel, or either A&E, something, one of those channels that does these documentaries. And it was about the Kennedy family again and how they're marked for tragedy. Well, people can believe that, you know, people can be marked for tragedy, marked for curses. But then somebody stands up and says, well, I'm marked for good things. Everywhere I go, blessings follow me. Everywhere I go, blessings hunt me down. Now, why is that so hard to believe when people can believe that curses follow people around? And people believe that bad things follow people around. And people believe that tragedy follows some families. I mean, there are some families, you know, they've even talked about it, passed it down to their children about, you know, the tragedy that this family has been through. And it seems like nobody ever makes it in this family. And every time some member of this family, you know, looks like he's going to succeed, the bottom falls out. We don't know what it is about this family. There just seems to be a curse on this family. There are people that have heard that all their lives and believe it, you know. But then you turn around and say, but I'm marked for blessing. I'm marked for good things happening in my life. The favor of God follows me everywhere I go. Good things are constantly happening to me everywhere I go. Well, who does he think he is? What makes him so special? The blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Certainly not anything I've done. Certainly not anything you've done. We didn't earn it through what we've done. In fact, if God had done what we deserved, we'd all go to hell. But thank God he sent Jesus. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for redemption. I'm not highly favored because of what I've done. I'm highly favored because of what Jesus did. Hallelujah. I'm marked for blessing. I'm a marked man. Hallelujah. Now, once again, the word marked means a sign of distinction. Now, in the Bible, it also reveals to us that there were people who were marked with a curse. There was a curse on people in the Bible. And no matter what they did, they couldn't succeed because of that curse that was on them. In fact, right now, one of the popular books, not only in the Christian world, but in the secular world as well, is this little book on the prayer of Jabez. I preached that sermon 30 years ago. Why didn't they buy it then? All of a sudden, this message on Jabez. I mean, it even hit the New York Times best-selling list. You know, well, it's the story of a man who was born and christened, you might say, and marked for bad things. You know, in the Bible, it does show us that people name their children relating to some event in their lives, or it meant something. Their name carried a meaning with it, like Abram's name was changed to Abraham, meaning the father of many nations. You know, Saul of Tarsus, Saul meant destroyer. God changed his name to Paul. You know, names meant something in the Bible. And the name of that person also reflected that person's character or nature. You know, like the lady told me when I first went into the ministry. She said, I hope you don't think that you'll ever have faith like Oral Roberts. I said, well, I haven't really never thought that, but since you brought it up, why not? She said, well, you just can't have faith like Oral Roberts. I said, why? She said, don't you understand that the reason he has this great faith is because of his name? I said, you're kidding. I mean, I'm like 3 weeks old in the Lord when I'm getting this revelation, see? I said, you mean his name is the reason he has great faith? Oh, yes. You didn't know that? I said, no, I didn't know that. What is so special about the name Oral? I said, it's a strange name. It's a funny name. I said, his mother is Cherokee. Full-blood Cherokee. I'd like to know what she was thinking when she named him. Oral. Oral. Whatever. What Indian do you ever remember being named Oral? Why did she name him Running Bear? Big Eagle. You know, or Strong Deer. You know. Mini Waters. Something, you know. Oral? And that's not even his really, that's not really his first name. His first name's Granville. No wonder he goes by Oral. But Oral's a strange name. And I said, you mean to tell me the reason this man has great faith is because his name is Oral? I said, what's so special about Oral? She said, you don't know? She looked around like, we don't want the CIA to find out about this, but since you asked, I'll give you this revelation. She said, it's the name. Don't you know names in the Bible mean something? Abraham, the father of many nations. I said, yeah, I understand that. I said, but what is so special about Oral? She said, you don't get it? I said, I don't get it. Please tell me. She said, say it again. I said, Oral. She said, say it again. I said, Oral. She said, say it again. I said, Oral. I said, it's doing nothing for my faith. She said, you don't know what Oral means? I said, no. She said, spoken word, Oral, Oral, spoken word, Oral, 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 spoken word. You get it? I said, no. She said, Oral, O-R-A-L, means to speak the word, the spoken word. His name means the spoken word. That's why he has all this great faith. And I'm sorry, you got stuck with Jerry. I said, you mean to be, because my parents named me Jerry at birth, I can't have great faith like Oral? She said, that's it, you got it. I went home and told Carolyn, I mean, she'd been baptized in the Holy Ghost since she's 8 years old. I said, Carolyn, I'm 3 weeks old in the Lord and they're already telling me I can't have great faith because my name's Jerry. She said, who told you that? I said, that woman down at the church that you said is one of the pillars of the church. You told me to ask these old people to, you know, these elders in the church to get revelation. And I said, I did. And she's telling me that I can't have great faith because my name's Jerry. She said, well, I don't think that has anything to do with it. So I thought, well, I don't want to take any chances. So I went to the dictionary and looked up my name. Just in case. I mean, I'm 3 weeks old in the Lord. What I know? And I looked in the dictionary, and you know what the dictionary said the definition of the word Jerry is? A slang name for a German. You know, during World War II, they called Germans Jerrys. I said, God, how am I ever going to do something big for you when Oral got the spoken word and you gave me the slang name of a German? Thank God the Holy Ghost laughed and said that doesn't have anything to do with it. Now, Oral Roberts has heard me tell this story. And here's the good part. Years later, I got to meet a Jewish rabbi. And he said, just in passing conversation, by the way, would you like to know what your name means in Hebrew? I said, would I? I said, you're not going to tell me the slang name of a German, are you? He said, oh, no. He said, the name Jerry, and then he gave me the derivative that has been brought down to Jerry. And he said, it means appointed by God. I said, look out, Oral. Look out, Oral. I don't have anything to do with it. Your name could be Mud. Mud Jones. Your wife could be Dirt. Your little kids could be Pebble and Stone. Great Uncle Asphalt. You know. It don't make a difference what your name is. Doesn't have anything to do with what you've done. It has everything to do with what Jesus did, praise God. He has marked you for blessing. Now, once again, in the Bible, there are stories of people who were marked with a curse. One such person is Cain. And this is found in Genesis chapter 4. I won't ask you to take the time to turn there, but you might want to read it yourself later. Genesis chapter 4, and you remember how Cain has murdered his brother Abel. And then God appears to him and says, where's your brother? He said, am I my brother's keeper? He said, your brother's blood is crying from the ground. And he said, and because of it, thou art cursed with a curse. Go read it for yourself. You are cursed with a curse. He said, for the rest of your life, you will live on planet Earth like a fugitive and a vagabond. And then he went on to say, and if you try to till the ground, it will not give its increase to you. In other words, this man is cursed with a curse. You could say he couldn't win for losing. A lot of people use that phrase today. You know, I can't win for losing. I can't go over for going under. I take one step forward and three steps back. Well, Cain could say that and it'd be true because he was cursed with a curse. I don't care if he owned the most fertile soil, piece of land with the most fertile soil in his region. If he tried to till it, it would not produce for him. Somebody else could come right behind him who did not have this mark on their lives, and they could cause that land to yield its increase. But Cain couldn't because there was a curse on him. Everywhere he went, curses followed him. Amen. A good example of it in our modern day is the little nation of Israel. You study it and you'll find out that no other nation who has ever controlled Israel got the earth or the soil in that nation to do what the little tiny nation of Israel is doing right now. No one else who's ever controlled it has ever seen the desert bloom. No one else has ever seen the vegetation, the fruit, the crops like Israel has now. Why? Because the people are marked. They are marked. Amen. But it doesn't stop with them. You and I got grafted in. Hallelujah.
Yep. Hallelujah.
Praise God. We got grafted in. Thank God Peter obeyed and went down there to Cornelius' house. They all got filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And you and I got in on this. Glory to God. We've been grafted in. And that same mark is on our lives. You know the reasons why the Jewish people do not believe in poverty? Is because they know it's not in their covenant. They know they are a marked people. One of the Jewish guides that we have used in taking our Bible school to Israel over the years, he told me one time, he said, when a Jewish man, particularly when he has a boy born into his family, he said from the time his wife conceives, he starts pronouncing over that child in her womb, my son, the lawyer. My son, the doctor. He starts pronouncing that boy's destiny before he ever comes out of her womb. My son, the doctor. My son, the lawyer. My son, the merchant. You know. And it's no wonder that you're buying your clothes from them. It's no wonder they're the best doctors in many areas. The best lawyers in many areas. You know. Why? They're marked. And you and I have that same mark. But we just don't believe it like they do. If we ever get to the point where we believe it like they do, then we'll go around pronouncing over the children in our wives' womb, my child, the successful one. My child, the entrepreneur. Thank you for your enthusiasm over this revelation. Amen. Amen. Because we know we're a marked people. We're marked for good things. We're marked for blessings. We're marked for the best. We ought to have the world's best, never have to pay the world's price, because we're so highly favored and marked by God. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Amen. Cain was known. He had a mark of distinction. The only problem was it was a negative mark. He was marked for a curse. On the other hand, there's a man in the Bible who was marked for blessing, and his name was Abraham. And God said to him in Genesis chapter 12, He said, I will bless thee, and I will make you a blessing, and I will make your name great. The Amplified says, I will make your name famous and distinguished. And what was it about this man's name that was going to be so famous? What would people associate his name with? Blessed. You couldn't speak Abraham without talking about how blessed he was. If you thought of Abraham, if you got in a conversation about Abraham, Before that conversation was up, you'd talk about how blessed he was. In Genesis chapter 24, verse 1, it says, "And when Abram was an old man, well stricken in age, God had blessed him in all things." You couldn't separate the name Abraham from blessed. He was a marked man. I don't care how many enemies came against him, he defeated them. I don't care if he was totally outnumbered. He could take a handful of men and beat an entire nation's army because he was marked for blessing. And you and I have that same mark on our lives today. We are the seed of Abraham. And God said that this promise is to 1,000 generations, to Abraham and his seed and their seed in their generation. And I just happen to be the seed of Abraham in this generation. And I'm a marked man. Hallelujah. You're a marked man. You're a marked woman. If you only knew it, praise God. Somebody said, "Well, why do I have so many problems in my life?" Being marked does not exempt us from tests, trials, challenges, and adversity. What it does exempt us from is being defeated by it. Hallelujah. We all have tests. We all have trials. We all go through challenges. I face challenges every day of my life. But I am exempt from being defeated by them. Amen. I've been knocked down many times. I've had many setbacks. You'll never read the story of a successful person who has not had setbacks on the way to success. But people who know who they are, people who know that they're marked, it doesn't make any difference if you knock them down 7 times, they get up 8. Hallelujah. Arnold Schwarzenegger didn't invent, "I'll be back." God invented it for His people. You knock them down, they'll be back. You try to crush them, they'll be back. Amen. They just keep coming back. Satan thinks he can wipe out a whole nation of them and they'll come back. Amen. I remember the days when I was preaching in Uganda during Idi Amin's reign. I remember seeing Christian missionaries and preachers slaughtered. I remember hearing screams all night long in the little region that I was staying in right on the Uganda border. I heard screams. I heard gunfire all night long. Idi Amin was terrorizing his nation. And there were people fleeing Uganda over into Kenya. And many of them would come missing arms, missing legs, had been butchered and slaughtered. I'm talking about hundreds of thousands of people. And right now there is such a massive revival going on in that nation. I'm telling you, the president of the nation and the first lady, at the year 2000, when we came into the year 2000, the president and the first lady had a major meeting in the largest stadium of Uganda, and they read a covenant that they had made with God, and they said, "We give our nation to God for the next 1,000 years. Hallelujah. There is such a revival going on. Idi Amin thought he'd wipe out all the Christians, but he didn't know they'll be back. Why? We're marked. We're marked. Hallelujah. You may be facing the greatest financial crisis you've ever been in, but you'll be back. You may have the greatest pain you've ever had in your body, but you'll be back. May look like your kids are running off to the world and drugs and perversion, but they'll be back. Hallelujah. We're marked. Glory to God. We're marked. And if we only knew it, we'd be walking in a greater level of victory than we are right now. Amen. Why was Cain marked with a curse? Because blood was crying out. Why are we marked with a blessing? Because blood's crying out. The blood of Jesus. God heard that blood cry when Jesus hung on the cross and his side was pierced with that sword and blood dripped from his side and onto the ground. God heard blood crying again. This time it was the blood of the Son of the living God. He came down and marked Cain with a curse. He came down and marked us with a blessing. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? We have every right to live a blessed life. Now I asked the Lord. I said, "Oh Lord, I believe this. And I know that this is what I've been trying to preach for 30 years, that I'm a marked man. And I know you're no respecter of persons. I know this is for every member of the body of Christ." I said, "But why aren't most of your people walking in a greater level of this? If we're marked for blessing, why don't we see more people walking in the reality of it?" And he reminded me of something that Brother Roberts taught me years ago. Brother Robert says that miracles and blessings are coming our way every day. We either attract them or they pass us by. Miracles and blessings are coming our way every day. We either attract them or they pass us by. The Bible says in Psalms, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits." That means God's trying to get something into our lives every day. Every day, God's trying to get something good into your life. Jesus prayed, "Give us this day our daily bread." That means God's trying to get something to us on a daily basis. Not just once every 10 years, not once every 5 years. Your testimony ought to be fresher than 1986, "God did something good for me." You ought to be able to share a testimony of the goodness of God every day of your life. Every day. Something good happening to you every day. Even though the devil's trying to wipe you out every day, in spite of all of that, God does something good for you every day. Praise God. Amen. He said, miracles and blessings are coming your way every day. You either reject them, or you repel them, or you attract them. I said, all right, I believe that. But what is it that causes us to attract a blessing? I mean, once I find out how do you attract blessing and miracles into your life daily, then I'm going to start doing that. I also want to know what causes them to pass you by. Because once I know that, I'm going to avoid that. Right? I said, Lord, what causes blessings to be attracted to me and what causes blessings to pass me by? And He said very simply, your words and your actions. Your words and your actions. If you're going around saying all the time, nothing good ever happens to me, the blessing that God was trying to get you that day, you just repelled it. It's not attracted to that kind of talk. And here I was standing over here saying, I'm marked for blessing, highly favored. And it hit me, praise God. Or it hit the person who's ordered their conversation aright, lined up with the Word of God. I told the crowd last night, and it's come to my thinking again. When I first went to work with Brother Copeland, I'm sitting in a meeting with him. He's preaching. I'm on the platform while he's preaching. And he told the story of how when he first came to the Lord, and he was listening to a Kenneth Hagin tape. And he said, that Brother Hagin said, last night when I went to bed, the Spirit of God spoke to me, and Brother Copeland turned the recorder off, and he hollered at Gloria. He said, Gloria, God sleeps with Kenneth Hagin. I can just see him doing this. He turned the recorder back on. Brother Hagin said, and the next morning when I got up while I was having breakfast, the Lord spoke to me. Brother Copeland turned the recorder off and said, Gloria, God eats with the Hagins. Turned the recorder on. Brother Hagin said, and on the way to the office, I was driving to the office and the Spirit of God spoke to me. Turned the recorder off. Gloria, God sleeps with them, eats with them, and rides around with them. After he finished the tape, he said, Lord, how come you don't sleep with me? How come you don't eat with me? How come you don't ride in my car with me? How come you don't talk with me like you do Kenneth Hagin? And Kenneth Copeland said, this is what God said to him. And when he said it, I got so tickled I had to run off the platform out of the building. He said, God said, Kenneth, I don't enjoy your company. Can you imagine God telling Kenneth Copeland, I just don't particularly like being around you? He said, Lord, you don't enjoy my company. He said, why not? Now see, Brother Copeland's just learning. He's just now learning these principles that Kenneth Hagin had been living by several years. And the Lord said to him, He said, Kenneth, you and I don't talk the same language. So I don't enjoy your company. Learn to talk my language and I'll spend time with you. Until then, I'll go find somebody that talks my talk. I felt a sinking spell right in this side of the auditorium there. Huh? I mean, there are certain people I get around. I'll be honest with you. I love them, you know, but I don't enjoy being in their presence because we don't talk the same language. I was with my relatives here just a few days ago. My mother's only brother just turned 80, and we were having a birthday party and for him, and all the relatives came in, and some of them I haven't seen since I was 18 years old. I wouldn't have known him on the street if I'd have seen him. And, you know, after we greet one another and hug and how you doing, what are you doing now, and, you know, and then you start talking about the old days when we were kids. Then after that, I mean, I didn't have anything else to say to him. Because the conversation went to woe is us, poor o' us, you know. Not all of them, but some of them. And I just don't enjoy being in the presence of doom and gloom. Now, I'll do my best to minister to them, but I wasn't there to preach. You know, I wasn't there to start a meeting. I've won many of them to the Lord, you know. And it was not proper for me to just go around correcting everybody's speech. But I mean, I'll be honest with you, I was glad when it was over. It was good to see everybody. But it's almost like being in a crowd that's cussing. You know how it puts your spirit in knots, you know? I mean, you get in an environment where people are cussing and using profanity and it just ties knots in your spirit. And that's the way it was. I mean, nobody was cussing in this thing, but it was just negative talk. Negative talk. So after the good to see you, how you been, what's happening in your life, you know, the good old days, when we were kids, you remember this, remember that, remember when you did this? And after that, you know, when they said, dismiss, boy, I dismissed, hallelujah. I went and got around people who talk like me. You know what I'm talking about? Talk faith. Talk what is possible to those that believe, praise God. Amen. Like the Bible says, Peter and John went back to their own company. I got a company. You know what I'm talking about? I got a company that I like to go back to. Those people that talk the Word won't talk what the world's saying. They talk the Word, hallelujah. Amen. If you're constantly saying nothing good ever happens to me, why am I constantly a failure? How come I take one step forward and three steps back? Everything I touch turns sour. Then consequently, the blessing that God was trying to get into your life that day passed you by. You repelled it instead of attracted it. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to walk in a greater level of this. I've walked in it, but I know there's more. Amen. It's time that we begin to believe that we are marked people. Jesus said to every person who failed to receive something He was endeavoring to get into their lives, whether it be healing or whatever, if they failed to receive, He would say, where is your faith? If they did receive, He said, your faith hath made you whole. In other words, Jesus said that faith has everything to do with this. Either a lack of faith prevents it, or the presence of faith receives it. Amen? And the first thing we got to believe is simply this. God's Word is true. And if God says I'm a marked man, then I'm a marked man, whether I have any evidence yet or not, whether if anybody else gets an agreement with me or not. I don't care what anybody else thinks about it. God's Word is final authority. And if God says I'm a marked man, then I am a marked man. And I'm going to keep talking I'm a marked man until there is evidence that I'm a marked man. Hallelujah. And you say amen. We are marked. Marked by God. That means there should be evidence along the way. And somebody eventually should be coming to you and saying, how are you doing this? Where are you getting this? Why do you seem to get raises when everybody else is being laid off? Why do you get promotions when you don't even have seniority here? How did you get this piece of land when the developers in this area hadn't even been able to buy it? Why did you get that deal for such a low price when there were higher bids on it than what you gave? And that's when you and I can say, it's the God I serve. Hallelujah. He's marked me for blessing. I'm highly favored by God. Would you like to meet this God who's marked my life? Hallelujah. See, God wants us so blessed that our very life becomes an evangelistic tool to win other people to Christ. Amen? Praise God. Stand with me if you will, please.